Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Yeah, good evening and welcome to the Big Red Bench. It's Colm O'Sullivan with you until 7 o'clock with a busy, busy show and a busy weekend of sport. Very shortly, we will cross live to Limerick. The Gaelic Grounds in Limerick. Valerie is there for us and we look ahead to the National Hurling League clash between Cork and Limerick. Cork going into that game on the back of some impressive performances in the league so far this season. We're not too far from fans returning to stadiums and one of the government's trial events takes place here in Cork next Friday at Turner's Cross. We'll hear from Cork City Chairman Declan Carey all about that. We'll be looking ahead to the Cork Lady Footballers clash with Waterford tomorrow as well. We'll discuss with Rowing Ireland's media ban that was announced during the week, and we will have reaction from the Red FM Senior Hurling League launch, all to come between now and six. Or even between now and seven, I should say, because it is 6 o'clock right now and it is Big Red Bench time. Good evening, how are you? It's Colm O'Sullivan with you until 7 o'clock. Loads going on, as I said, it is a busy show for you tonight. We're going to be talking, as I said, a little bit later about supporters and fans returning to stadiums and events and matches and everything, which we're all looking forward to, because I think a lot of us in the media have been a little bubble where we've been able to go to matches, but they haven't been the same because there's been no fans there. There's been no atmosphere. There's been no crowds or fun or crack or kind of, you know, just even the supporters just driving on the teams. It hasn't been there, but it is coming back gradually. And one of the trial events that are taking place for sporting events around Ireland, just one of them, is in Cork next week. And that is the Cork City versus Cabinteely match at Turner's Cross next Friday night, when about 600 to 700 supporters will be allowed in to that match on Friday. So we'll chat to Cork City Chairman Declan Carey about that a little bit later on in the show. We're also going to talk ladies football. Great game last week. My God, what a great game it was. Unfortunately, Cork were defeated by Dublin in the ladies football league match up in Dublin. But it was a cracker of a game. And Cork will be hoping they can, you know, bring that form into tomorrow's game with Waterford. We'll chat about that match with Ger McCarthy a little bit later on as well. We're also going to chat with Ger about Rowing Ireland. They announced during the week a ban on any of their athletes speaking to the media between now and when the Olympics starts later on this summer. They've decided they don't want them speaking to the media and it's not going to be allowed. And hopefully that doesn't set a precedent, because, you know, sports like rowing and I suppose so-called minority sports like that do need the coverage, and you know they're totally entitled to do their own thing, but is it a good idea? We'll chat about that later on. Also, we were down during the week, myself and Rory, at the launch of the 2021 Red FM Senior Hurling League, and that took place in Porkeycueve on, I think it was Monday night we were down there, so we'll hear from some of the people down there, including the Rockies captain Michael O'Halloran, as they begin their defence of the Red FM Senior Hurling League pretty soon as well. But first, we'll round up some of what's going on sporting wise this weekend. And as I said, 7:15 is the throw-in time at the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick for Cork versus Limerick in the Allianz National Hurling League. Cork went to the match at the back of a high, really, score. You know, they've had a lot of goals and so on. They had the win over Waterford, the draw against Tip, and then the huge win, scoring 7 goals to 27 points over Westmeath, while Limerick have failed to win their opening 3 matches. So we'll see how that fares out and chat to Valerie about that in just a few minutes. Elsewhere in football today then, Cork City FC women's team, they've been beaten by Galway Women's FC in the Women's National League. Galway getting a 2-0 win over City at Turner's Cross earlier on this afternoon. In rugby, Ulster away to Edinburgh in the Guinness Rainbow Cup. That game is underway now. We'll get you score for that in a few minutes. Golf, and Shane Lowry is best of the Irish ahead of his third round at the Memorial Tournament, the Open champion. He teed off from 4 under par, and he is now still 4 under par there through 2 holes, so not doing too bad at all. And he's in a tie for 9th and 6 shots off leader John Rahm at the Memorial Tournament. And Rory McIlroy is level par there through 4 holes, while Padraig Harrington missed the cut on 11 over. In tennis, defending champion Rafael Nadal has has defeated Britain's Cameron Norrie in straight sets in their last 32 match at the French Open. Earlier on, world number one Novak Djokovic sailed into the next round with a straight sets win over Lithuanian Ricardas Berankis. You gotta love the tennis players' names for pronunciations, don't you? I think that's alright though. In boxing, 2018 world boxing champion Kelly Harrington, well, she has the chance this evening to book her spot at the Olympics, and we all hope that she does just that. The Dublin lightweight faces current IBF super featherweight champion Maiva Hamidouche in the quarterfinals of the qualifiers in Paris. Meanwhile, Roscommon's Aoife O'Rourke will be off to Tokyo if she can win against Polish featherweight Ila Wojcik later on this evening as well. So a lot going on sports-wise across the weekend. But it is to the Gaelic grounds in Limerick where we go first, and Valerie Wheeler is up there for us. And Valerie, I suppose great to have the Cork hurlers back in action, and they've been doing pretty well. They had the win over Waterford, they had the draw with Tip, and the big win over Westmeath 2 weeks ago down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And you're up there again, Valerie, this evening in a quiet stadium, no supporters, but as I was saying a little while ago, it's not going to be long till the fans are back in stadiums now too, so you'll have a bit of company.
Yeah, only a few weeks time, 3rd of July now is when Cork and Limerick will be able to have a few fans in Munster Championship, so it'll be very exciting. But as of today, I'm the only one sitting in the car park now, because I love to be early, as everyone knows.
Brilliant. Cork and Limerick tonight, and I mentioned they've kind of had mixed fortunes. I think Cork will probably be the happier of their games so far, Valerie, would you reckon?
Yeah, look, I think, to be honest, Colin, Cork probably have surprised a lot of people over the last few weeks, and I think surprised people in a good way, but I hope it's not the hope that kills us, you know what I mean? But when it comes to Cork, and when you've had a look at them over the last few weeks, you know, they've had so many different players. I think they've had over 30 players that they've trialed and experienced over the last few games in the league, which is crazy, which is a massive amount of players to be getting on, you know, getting game time, which is great, Colm. I think because for years, you know, they might have been slow to experiment. And I think now, and everyone knows that the league is the perfect time to do this, because by the time the championship runs around, you should be having your team nailed. So I think Kingston has been really clever, along with his background team, getting these lads a chance. They're so young. I don't know if you've seen this week as well. There's 10 changes to the team, obviously. Yep. But I don't know if you've noticed that there's only two of them that are over the age of 24 this week, and that is Alan Cadigan and Damien Callahan. The rest of them, the 13 of them, are all under 24 years of age. So they're really, really, the emphasis is on the youth in Cork this year.
Like, that's a really, really young squad, Valerie, isn't it? And I mean, it shows the strength that is there in the youth system that is coming through for Cork, and that they can bring in all these guys under the age of 24 and put them out in a game like this.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, you think that going up against a team like Limerick that you'd be a bit scared to do something like that at this time, but they don't seem to really care. They want to get the lads out there, they want to give them a chance, and I think we really do. We've relied on so much on the experienced players for years, and they can't do it themselves, so I think it's great that these young players are getting a chance. I know that Father O'Neill's Jerry Millerick is, of course, and Declan Dalton, it's their first appearance tonight this year. So it'll be exciting, and I think it'll be a really interesting game. And as I said, like, it over the last, they had a landslide win over Westmeath the last day. You know, they really will be coming in with confidence. I really don't think that Cork will fear Limerick anyway tonight at all.
I think they're very, very confident, because I've been at two or three of the games myself this year as well. And that Westmeath game, now I know the opponents were very, very poor in Westmeath, but it was a strange game even to be reporting on, because the amount of scores, you were losing track of the scores and trying to keep up with it. 7-27 to something like 15 points, I think, was the final score against Westmeath, and a broad range of scorers there. And Cork, Valerie, hadn't had such a high score in nearly a decade in any game. Now, I know against poor opposition, but that still gives you great confidence just to be able to bang in that amount of scores, both goals and points, against any opposition, doesn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, because they had the draw against Tipperary, then they had the wins over Waterford and Westmeath, and over those three games, Colin, they've actually scored 14 goals and 65
points. I was calculating that with Rory last week as well when we were chatting about it, and I was like, is that right? Because that's a lot, isn't it? Yeah.
No, it is. And I think because maybe, you know, for the last few years, Cork really, I think that, and even to see the buzz around Cork now and pundits during the week and local papers and, you know, even the Sunday League, you can see that people think that Cork is a sleeping giant. And it's just really exciting to see that people are talking so positively about Cork, because for a long time, Colin, we all have been such, and I'm a candidate for myself that I do speak quite negative of the team, and that's because it's your job to do so. But I think it is really, like, 14-65, I mean, it'll be so interesting to see when they keep that goal scoring, and especially against Limerick tonight, because Limerick have rested Nicky Quaid, so they are giving Barry Hennessy a chance. So it's his first start for Barry Hennessy this year. Also, Their sub goalie is actually Jason Glenn, who is brothers of Aaron Glenn, who is there obviously forward. Yeah. For Limerick then tonight, you know, they're also experiencing this. Seven changes for the Limerick team. There's a teenager in, he's in his leave and cert. His name is Colin Coughlin, and he's going to make his Limerick debut tonight in the league. Dermot Burns is back after serving his match ban, but then you have Kyle Hayes and Seamus Flanagan out serving their match ban. So I just think it'll be really interesting. I think Limerick, they really do need to respond, and I just think that Cork could be on the receiving end of that tonight, because Limerick have yet to record a win in the league, and especially last year, Colm, they were unbeaten last year in the league and championship, and for them to come in and have such a bad run now over the last few weeks, I think that they'll be looking to respond tonight.
Yeah, Limerick won't have expected a start like that. They'd expect to have at least one or two wins under their belt by now, wouldn't they?
Sure, of course they would, and I think that, I don't know, like, I've been talking to a few people, and I'm like, I wonder, it's not that they don't care, but maybe they're just, you know, trialing things, maybe they're giving players a chance, but I just think it's been really weird not to see Limerick perform to the best of their ability over the last few weeks. It's been strange, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm looking forward to tonight's game, because I'm really excited to see Cork, and then I'm also excited to see will Limerick respond. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game, and of course, like, it's going to set us up for what's going to happen in a few weeks' time when the big one matters. It's Munster Championship, so it's just very exciting. I'm actually buzzing to be here this evening.
I like this, as you say, this is a bit of a dress rehearsal really for the Munster Championship, isn't it? And I know the result won't decide how the championship game goes, but it'll certainly give an indication of where both teams are in comparison to each other, won't it?
Yeah, and I think it will now, because Cork, as we mentioned, you know, they've been going so well, and Limerick haven't. So, like, I don't know, if Limerick turn on the switch tonight and show us how they really play, like, could Cork be in trouble, and then could we realise where Cork really are at? You know, Cork really have Cork been tested over the last few weeks? I mean, the Westmeath score, like, as you mentioned, that Westmeath were very poor that day, so were they even tested enough? Or have we seen them being tested enough? Have we seen them be tested over Waterford and Tip? So I don't know, it'll just be very interesting, and I think tonight will be a great marker to find out where both teams are at.
I do get the sense from you, Valerie, the way you're saying it, that you're a bit wary that Cork might be getting a little bit carried away with the results so far.
I hate hyping them up, Colin, because this is coming from a Cork fan that gets so disappointed at taking you off my journalist hat now. But
we're allowed to be biased, it's fine.
I get so disappointed every year, so I hate hyping them up.
Well, hopefully they'll live up to the hype this evening, and I think it'll be a big test for them as well against Limerick tonight, as we said. But I mean, that's phenomenal scoring, the likes of 14 goals and 65 points or whatever we said it was.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Is tonight going to be a high scoring game? Are Cork going to keep up that scoring level? And if Limerick are to match them, will they need to score a lot of goals and points as well? Or do you think realistically Limerick will keep the scores a lot lower than Cork's previous opponents?
I think it'll be a lot lower than Cork's previous opponents. I don't think they'll be getting carried away with all the goals and points, to be honest. I do think both teams now have a strong bench. I mean, Cork are resting Patrick Horgan tonight as well. We have to mention that too. So, and we rely on him such a lot. So I think that, I don't know, it'll be very interesting. I think Limerick needs to put the whispers to bed, Colm. I think the losses over the last few weeks, but Cork really do look sharper up front. You know, they do with the plenty of goals. But this game, I'm just a bit weary of, because I feel like Limerick will just want to shut everyone up after all the negative stuff of the last few weeks, you know.
If you had to call us, who would you go for? What do you think?
Oh my God, everyone's going to hate me. I'm going to say Limerick.
Oh, get out.
But this is what happens when you live in Limerick and you're from Cork.
You see, yeah, that split allegiance is there, Val, you know. Or else maybe professional integrity, and it keeps you unbiased.
I'll go with the latter.
Go with the latter. And we mentioned at the start about obviously behind closed doors again tonight, the game, and supporters will gradually be coming back now across the summer. We're going to chat to Cork City Chairman Declan Carey later on in the show as well, because Cork City and Cabinteely is one of the trial events next week, as is the Leinster and Dragons game in the RDS, and the Shamrock Rovers and Finarps game in Tallaght Stadium as well. They're all going to have somewhere in about 700 to a couple of thousand at the games. So the GAA's turn will come in a couple of weeks as well then, Valerie. And I think GAA supporters all over the country are dying to get back into stadiums. And the same as any sport, the players are dying to have them there as well, aren't they?
Look, I think they really will. Because I presume, you know, players always say that the the fans do give him a little bit of a buzz. And I was listening to Radio 1 on the way here, Colm, and you could just hear the fans above an Antrim for the Wexford and Antrim
Brilliant.
Game, and it was really exciting. And it's just so nice to hear the atmosphere in the stadium. I mean, you really have missed them. And I know that a few club games now, I think it's from Monday the club are allowed to have 100 at the games.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pilot events over the next few weeks, it's all so positive. And I think that once vaccinated fans get into the stadium, I mean, it just gives everyone a bit of a boost. Even sitting there watching the game, sometimes you'd forget you're at a game, you'd think you're at a challenge match or a bit of a training session because the atmosphere isn't there. So I really, honest God, I cannot wait to welcome the fans back into the stadium, because sometimes the fans really do make the game, and the players say it themselves, like it's like the 16th man, you know.
It's got to be fantastic. And as you say, the vaccines are really stepping up now, they're getting through them fast, and hopefully things are all heading in the right direction. So do you think, we've heard about it, are we going to get 25,000, 30,000 at All-Ireland Finals in August? Do you think that's realistic?
Oh, God. Like, I'm no medical profession, so I don't know if I can answer that one. But it seems like a lot, doesn't it?
It does seem like a lot. It does, but hopefully.
Oh, God, hopefully. I'm like, squash 80,000 of us in there for vaccinated, for God's sake.
Chances,
like,
yeah.
You know, we'll wear a mask, we'll be fine. But I think, look, as long as family and friends, maybe even family, get to go and see their you know, their sons and their partners and their husbands and their wives play in an All-Ireland final, I think that's really important, because like they're the ones that's there for them at the end of the day when they do lose or when they win. And I think Croke Park is such a lonely, lonely place if you lose an All-Ireland final day, and to lose and to not have your family members or your loved one around you to support you, I think that's very difficult.
It certainly is, and hopefully we'll have the big crowds there for the All-Ireland Finals, and crowds back for games right across the summer, because it's looking good, and we can see crowds going to a lot of games in the UK and stuff recently as well, so fingers crossed that all stays on track. But Valerie, you're fighting a lone battle there yourself and the players and a few journalists tonight, but enjoy it at the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick, Cork versus Limerick, all right?
I will. I hope I'm wrong on my prediction, and there'll be post-match tomorrow night in the Venture Roar.
Fingers crossed it's a Cork win. Valerie, thanks a million. Enjoy the game.
Bye, Colm.
And throw in, as we said, at 7:15. So just in about literally an hour's time for Cork and Limerick at the Allianz National Hurling League. That is live on television as well. It's live on RTE2 tonight. Coverage beginning there in about 45 minutes' time. And as we said, throw in at 7:15. So we're looking forward to watching that game later on. And hopefully another Cork victory, because as we said, Cork have been going well, and hopefully we're not getting carried away, as I was saying to Valerie a little while ago. Now we are just to update you on the boxing. We were mentioning Kelly Harrington a little while ago, and that she was in action, and she has been victorious, which is great news. Kelly Harrington has been victorious, and she is going to the Olympics, which is fantastic. She defeated her opponent, one of the most feared women in women's boxing, apparently amateur or pro, Maiva Hamidouche, and Harrington outboxed her for two rounds, and it was a great win for her. And she had a really good professional record going into this. Did her opponent Hamidouche 18 knockouts as a pro, and she was 22-1. And Kelly Harrington managed to defeat her in their qualifying match in France this evening in the bout there, and she's now going to the Olympics representing Ireland. So well done to Kelly Harrington. Will she be the next Katie Taylor, I wonder? And we're looking forward to seeing her at the Olympics later on this summer. Will there be fans at the Olympics? I don't know. I think they're allowing is it home-based fans just in Tokyo and Japan? I don't think they're allowing any other supporters from abroad to go to the Olympics, just the athletes allowed travelling from abroad. But summer, we know that supporters will be. Next Friday night is at Turner's Cross. It's the first event in Cork in over a year, in over 14 or 15 months, since early March 2020, when there will be any sort of organised crowd at any event, be it a sporting event, be it a concert, be it an artistic event, anything at all. This is a trial event that the government are running, and they're using Cork City's match versus Cabin Tealy in the League of Ireland next Friday night. There'll be over 600 supporters there, and we're going to chat about it now, about how great it is to have fans returning to sporting events, with Cork City FC chairman Declan Carey. Dec, how are you?
Hey, Colm. Not too bad. How's it going?
Great, thanks for joining us. And as I mentioned, it'll be wonderful on Friday night to have the fans back at Turner's Cross. It's one of the trial events that the government are running, and one of the very few trial events are actually in Cork. Most of them are in Dublin, in terms of both sporting and artistic and so on. So in terms of sporting ones, there's a lot of them over the next couple of weeks, but there's three on Friday night, and one of them is in Cork. There's Leinster and Dragons in the RDS, Shamrock Rovers in Finarps and Tallaght Stadium, and Cork City versus Cabin Tealy at Turner's Cross. So I suppose it's great great for the club to be chosen by the government and the authorities to be, I suppose, trusted with trialling bringing supporters back to events, isn't it?
Exactly, Colm. Yeah, and I think look, it's an absolute credit to all of the club staff and volunteers that have, you know, been working tirelessly. I guess not even just during the COVID restrictions over the last year, but even before that. You know, when any time we've had government officials at the game or representatives of the FAI, we've always shown ourselves to be, you know, one of the best run match nights in the League of Ireland and indeed all over the country. So, you know, I think it's just a credit to everyone to show that we can facilitate this trial event, and it's something I'm sure all of the staff and the volunteers can be certainly proud of, and something we're very proud of as well, that you know we're one of the first events to be trialed across the country, and some of the other events as you mentioned there as well, and we really hope everything goes well now, and I'm sure it will. You know, we've got Turner's Cross in an excellent condition to facilitate these trial events, and it's something we've shown to the FAI that we have the capability to do it, and you know the stadium is very suitable to this kind of this trial event, and hopefully it proves that we can facilitate crowds, and the numbers then slowly increase, and it should bode well for other League of Ireland grounds and teams as well, which is, you know, ultimately what everyone wants is to get fans back in the ground.
And Cork City always through the years would have, Declan, some of the biggest crowds in the country in all sports, but certainly in League of Ireland, and big crowds every week in Cork. And obviously they mightn't be as big this season in the First Division, but they'd still be right up there in footballing terms of quite big crowds. But it's been so long since we've had the fans in Turner's Cross. Like, we've both been lucky enough to be in at games, but it's not the same. It's strange when there's no fans there, and it's kind of quiet and eerie. But I think like there was one or two games last year in the middle of summer where there was 200 fans allowed. But apart from that, really, I think it was maybe the Finn Harps game way back last year, in about March of last year.
Yeah, Finn Harps game back then, we had a great crowd at that match actually, and the atmosphere was fantastic, and I think that's, you know, again, something, as you said there, we did have a handful of supporters in at two or three games last year, and it just, you know, it was great for them, and but it's just not the same. You need the volume of supporters, and even not just in terms of size, but the actual volume and the noise that they generate as well. We all know how atmospheric Turner's Cross can be when there's a significant crowd in, and we think the Cabin Tealy game will be will only scratch the surface. Like, it won't be your typical night in Turner's Cross of what folks would have been used to maybe back at that Finn Harps game when that was the last game we had before the COVID lockdown kind of hit. But, you know, there will be social distancing guidelines. We're asking season card holders to register before Tuesday. So, you know, we want everyone to sign up. We should be able to accommodate as many season ticket holders as possible. And, you know, it's great as well now to be able to reward those fans that showed such loyalty to the club in the pre-season there and committed to buying these season cards when it was completely unknown when they would be allowed to come into grounds. I think, you know, some fans even bought these season cards with the expecting that they would not go back into Turner's Cross this season, and you know, here we are now in June, and they're able to attend the game, so it's great to be able to reward them as well. And you know, all I can do is urge as many season card holders as possible to register up, and then we'll ensure that we can accommodate as many as possible.
Is it corkcityfc.ie where they register, Declan?
Yeah, corkcityfc.ie, and on the homepage there should be a banner across, with a link in where you can fill out and register. You just need to provide your name, email address, your season card details. Every season card holder would have got their season card in the post some number of weeks ago as well. But look, if you have any difficulties at all and you're a season card holder and you can't seem to use the registration online for whatever reason, you know, please contact the club as well by email info@corkcityfc.ie or call the club on the club's phone number. So look, we'll accommodate as many as we possibly can in as many ways as possible. You know, we understand that some supporters may not be tech savvy and go online and register, and that's a difficult thing, I think, for and the way the world has gone over the last year, everything has gone online these days. But you know, we will try and facilitate as many supporters as possible who reach out to us and need any help.
Brilliant. And you mentioned it'll be a little bit different than normal, still with social distancing and so on still in place. But I suppose we can look at the games in England that have had crowds back over the last few weeks, maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks. They've had crowds back at Premier League games and at some of the playoff games and the cup finals and so on. And we've seen like 70, 80,000 seater stadiums with maybe 10,000 people in it. So this is kind of the equivalent by Turner's Cross size wise. So it'll be a similar layout, I'd imagine, Declan, with people kind of spaced out. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to have like 1,000 people jumping on top of each other in the shed.
Yeah,
we get there eventually too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but look, I still think even though they'll be spaced out, as you can see when the, you know, things like the Champions League final and those games in England, as you mentioned, like even though the crowd are spaced out, that, you know, they can still create a bit of noise and atmosphere, and I'm sure, you know, the crowd will do their best to try and you know, put a bit of motivation into the lads as well, a bit of extra motivation that only a live crowd can give, and, you know, hopefully that will help spur the lads on as well, and we can pick up the 3 points, which again is probably the most important thing about Friday night's game, aside from the fans coming back, which is a huge milestone for the club in terms of the return from COVID-19. So super excited for our column.
Absolutely.
And looking forward to seeing as well how the players react. A lot of them are young lads who might not have played in front of a large crowd in Turner's Cross before, and, you know, it's hugely important that the crowd that do come on the night, you know, spur them on as much as we can and give them the support. You know, the majority of them are young lads from Cork who are making their debuts in senior football, and this will be the first time they're played in front of a large crowd, as I said. So, you know, it's important that we give them the support that they need, and I'm sure they can you know, respond in kind with that support with a positive performance.
Just finally, Declan, it's something I spoke to Garrod Morrissey and Colin Healy and others about in recent weeks. I think Cork City, and I don't know if you'd agree with me, have been affected more than a lot of clubs in the First Division by not having the supporters there, because a lot of the First Division clubs, let's be honest, they wouldn't have very big crowds anyway at the best of times, whereas Cork City are used to having the crowd behind them and spurring them on. So you'd hope now that's going to inspire the lads a bit more and maybe hopefully kind of pick up a few results because of it.
Yeah, you'd expect so, Colm. Look, it's happened to other clubs as well all across Europe. You'd imagine that have such, you know, where their fan presence has such prominence around their club. And, you know, for the players themselves as well, like, you've seen it when you introduce the players onto the pitch before the game. Like, they literally come out of the mouth of the shed end, and they have the crowd behind them and roaring them on. And then at half time, you know, they go in, and, you know, if a game is tight, you know, the crowd can show a bit of encouragement there as well, as they go into the dressing room and then come out of the dressing room in the second half. And, like, you can only imagine that can only be a positive thing, you know, that will help the players. You know, as you said at the beginning there, like, it there's eerie silences at half time, full time, when the players come out and do their warm up. You know, it's just not the same, and it's not what League of Ireland fans are used to seeing, or League of Ireland players are used to playing in front of. So, you know, again, it can only be a positive thing, I think, and very excited now to see what Friday night is like at the Cross, and having the fans back, and, you know, starting off a few chants and stand up for the Cork City, and you know, trying to egg the lads on as much as they can.
Ah, it's going to be fantastic. Looking forward to it myself. And it's going to be about somewhere in the region of 600 or 700 fans in at Turner's Cross on Friday night for the first trial event in Cork with crowds. The first event of any sort in Cork with crowds since March of 2020. So it's great that Cork City FC and Turner's Cross are involved in that. And hopefully it's just the start of many, many more to come. Listen, Cork City Chairman Declan Carey, we're looking forward to it Friday. I'll see you Friday, Declan. Thanks for chatting to us.
See you Friday as always, Colm. Thank you, sir.
Good man, Deck. Okay, that is the trial game at Turner's Cross on Friday night, the government trial of having crowds at events. Remember that, when we used to go to concerts and matches and have thousands of people there? It seems in the distant past now, doesn't it? But it's coming back, and we're loving to see it back. We're also looking forward to something else on Friday night, which is the start of the European Championships, the Euros, Euro 2020, even though it's 2021, it's going to be absolutely brilliant. Unfortunately, Ireland aren't there, but sure, we're happy out playing friendlies against Andorra and Hungary and things at the moment. A lot of friendlies on at the moment, actually. Just one team, I suppose, that would be interest to us in this part of the world, Wales and Albania, scoreless there in their friendly after 73 minutes. Wales, obviously, in the Euros. England, Wales and Scotland are all in the Euros, and England and Scotland are playing each other. They're in the same group on Friday week, which is going to be a cracker of a game. Remember they played each other in the groups in Euro 96 way, way back. And I think Gaza scored, didn't he, in that game? So that brings back a few memories. But we are looking forward to Euro 2020. And we'll chat loads about that on the Big Red Bench and on Red FM in general over the next couple of weeks as well. But the opening game next Friday night is Italy against Turkey. And then England's opening game is against Croatia. And then you got the big England and the Scotland game the following week as well. So it's going to be good. It is going to be good. It's going to be a festival of football, and there's going to be crowds in there as well, and lots of the games right across Europe, because it is a multi-city event. And unfortunately we were supposed to have games in Dublin, but the government deemed it not safe apparently for those to go ahead, even though all the other countries are having them ahead. It was probably just a month too early, in fairness, for us here, unfortunately. Right, it is the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Red FM. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking ladies football, more hurling, and also Rowing Ireland. They've banned their athletes from talking to the media. All that, plenty more to come between now and seven here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM. Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
It is the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Red FM. It's Colm O'Sullivan with you until 7 o'clock this evening. On a busy weekend of sport, we are counting down, as we said, to the Cork Hurlers back in action this evening. Cork versus Limerick up at the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick, and throwing there is not too far away at all. Just less than 45 minutes time now. Throwing there at the Gaelic Grounds in Limerick is at 7:15 for Cork versus Limerick in the Allianz National Hurling League. Hopefully Cork can continue their winning way. Two wins and a draw so far for the Rebels. Fingers crossed they can get a third win against Limerick, but it's going to be tough, as we discussed with Valerie earlier on in the show. And there'll be lots of reaction to that game here on the Big Red Bench tomorrow evening from 6 p.m. as well. Well worth tuning in for that, with Rory hopefully chatting about a Cork win. Fingers crossed. And now we're going to turn our attentions to ladies football, and Cork back in action tomorrow against Waterford, the Cork Lady Footballers, on the back of a cracking game. Really great game against Dublin last weekend, but unfortunately Cork on the losing side in that match. I'm joined now by the host of our Women in Sport podcast, the Cork's Red FM Women in Sport podcast, Ger McCarthy, to chat about the ladies football team. Ger, how are you keeping?
Really good, Colm. Good to talk to you, man.
Great stuff. And I was listening to some of your podcasts during the week, and you were talking about last week's game for the lady footballers against Dublin, and a real, real cracker, Ger, wasn't it?
An absolute epic between the two strongest teams in this year's football championship, and a repeat of last year's final. And it had a bit of everything, Colm. Dublin looked really, really good from early on. Hannah Tyrrell, former rugby international, has joined them this year, and she was absolutely sensational in the second half. But it was a low-scoring first half, but it absolutely exploded after the break. 7 goals in the end. Cork coming up short by a point, even though they hit the point with one of their last attacks. Really, really good end-to-end game, full of fantastic football, and it bodes well for the rest of the year. And despite the defeat, a lot of good positives to take, but from Cork's point of view.
I suppose they're the games Cork need, really, to test themselves against the likes of Dublin. Very, very, very strong side, and as you said, a high-scoring game. And they're the kind of games that Cork will learn from now heading into the rest of the season, really, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Aoife Fitzgerald, the manager, has repeatedly said that he's using the league to look at as many players as possible, and he's been true to his word. But, you know, when you play Dublin, they are the benchmark. They are the reigning All-Ireland champions. They are the favourites again this year. You learn a lot more about your players, especially the fringe players. And from his point of view, Aoife's point of view, sorry, I think he'd have been very, very happy with the performance of Saoife O'Leary in the corner forward. She played superbly, got another goal, has been playing really well in the two games to date, both against Tip and Dublin. Also, Emma Cleary, and there's an interesting bench developing there, players and alternatives in each of the positions, and there's quite a lot of competition for places, and they're the things you want during the league campaign ahead of heading into the championship. So yeah, so far out of the two games, and probably ahead of this weekend's game at Waterford, Aoife is getting a good look at his entire squad, and that's what he wanted from day one.
That's exactly what he wanted from day one. Having seen Dublin in action now last week, and Cork in action, I suppose, Gerard, you're kind of weighing them up ahead of the rest of the season, ahead of the championship in the summer and so on. How far do you think will Cork push Dublin all the way this year?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that match, the league match, even though they came up short and even though it ended up being a shootout, will have brought them on a huge amount. To get that game so early in the year in the league, and considering it's a reduced league this year, Colm, as well, I mean, they'll have been delighted with that. That's better than 3 or 4 training sessions, because it's full on. You're up against the best in the country. And to be fair to them, I think they were close enough to Dublin last year. They faded in the second half of the All-Ireland final in the third quarter, and Dublin, you know, put them away. I don't see that happening this year. I think they're going to be a lot closer to Dublin. And even though that match will have only told us about where they are right now, I think come the end of the league and come the end of the championship, hopefully Cork will be thereabouts. But if they come across Dublin again, I think Dublin know that this is going to be one of their toughest tests. And I think Cork should be pleased where they are right now, because look at the players that are missing. We still don't have any Niamh Cotter. We still don't have any Darren O'Sullivan, just to name two off the top of my head. Laura Mahoney, another player. There's an awful lot of experienced players yet to come back into the squad. And when they come in, the competition for places will be even more intense. And that's what you want. You want players fighting for their place, playing consistently well, and the only way you beat Dublin in the All-Ireland Championship is when you've not just 15 now, but 20 players playing to the maximum. Cork have those players, but they need to deliver.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that the game against Dublin last week is what they needed. You mentioned it was as good as three or four training sessions, and I suppose they need those games and indeed the training sessions as well, and not just Cork, but all the teams and all the teams and all sports really, Gerard, especially across all codes of Gaelic games. After the long layoff with the lockdown, they only got back training in the last couple of months. Games are only up and running right across the Gaelic game spectrum in the last kind of month or two as well. So after such a long lockdown, I know players were training away themselves and doing their own bits and things, and there was probably the odd sneaky training session here and there for some teams as well. But I mean, they do need all that to get up to speed now, don't they?
Yeah, the concern is that after such a long layoff that the league was going to be so reduced and that you were straight into a championship. It was prevention of injuries really more than anything else. And what you've seen, Colm, is that not just Cork, but a lot of Dublin as well. Dublin have six or seven players to come back in. They're not risking some of their more established players during the league. Say, like, look at Niamh Cotter, look at Laura Mahoney, look at Darren O'Sullivan, definitely. I mean, Darren and Breed O'Sullivan as well, only played a bit of the first game. Like, there's no point in coming in, if you're carrying an injury, there's no point in coming in and getting hurt in the league, because it's so short, you could end up missing the start of the championship. So there's a lot of protection of players going on, very, very careful in training sessions. The one thing I will say, because I've witnessed a couple of them, when it comes to the Cork football training sessions, the A versus B games should be televised, because they are unbelievably intense. They really are an opportunity for the players who are on the fringes of the team to put themselves in the shop window, and they certainly take it. But look, Cork are in a very, very good position. We have a settled midfield of Hannah Looney and Mara Callan, who've both been excellent so far in the two games in the league. The two flying wing-backs, Melissa Duggan, Erica O'Shea, again, look like they're going to have another great year. And Cork now, Colm, what they have up front are options. No Anya Terry O'Sullivan, no Saoirse Noonan, no Darren O'Sullivan at the moment, but Saoibh O'Leary, Emma Cleary and Libby Coppinger. These types of players have stood up and they've been given their chance, and they certainly look to take it with both hands. It is going to be a shorter season, but a fascinating one.
It's fantastic to have that strength and depth as well. They're heading into another game now tomorrow on the back of that game against Dublin last week, and Waterford the opponent. Ger, what kind of test will Waterford pose for Cork tomorrow?
Waterford are going to be a really, really tough game for Cork tomorrow. There's absolutely no doubt about it, simply because they beat Tipperary and beat them well last weekend. Cork would have beaten Tipperary in their opening game. And when you're at home in Dungarvan, it's never, ever, it's like a cliche, but it's true. And Aoife Fitzgerald mentioned it in these aftermatch comments that we had last weekend. He knows the challenge that's coming. He knows the test. And don't forget, Cullum, like, Waterford have never been that far away from beating Cork. They've taken a few beatings down through the years, but the Ladies Football Association in Waterford is getting itself organised. They're buying land. They're looking to the future. They have some really, really good players. Anya Wallen, the full forward, is somebody that's they're going to have to keep an eye on tomorrow. But luckily, Roisin Phelan is playing over her skin at the moment in the full back position for Cork. But they make no bones about it. This is a Waterford team. If whoever wins tomorrow, Cullum, is into the league semi-finals. It's a straight shootout, so it's pretty straightforward. And because it's that straightforward, it might actually have a bit of a championship feel to it. I think both teams will experiment again with the bench and play as many subs as they can, because they want to get minutes into the legs ahead of the opening of the championship. But if it was in Cork, I'd fancy Cork, definitely. And I do think Cork will win on Sunday, but I do not think it's going to be as easy as some people think.
It's basically a knockout game almost tomorrow, so kind of it's got that kind of feel, certainly, anyway, doesn't it?
It does, and like at this time of the year, that's what you want. I mean, Dublin is one test, and Waterford may, you know, I don't want to down Waterford by any means, but like this, having played Dublin, what you want is another quick, stiff test to keep players on their toes, keep that momentum going. And the fact that it's away from home, and the fact that Cork will have to be on it for the full 60 minutes, that's exactly what Aoife Fitzgerald, Paddy O'Shea, and all that backroom team want. They want as many tests as possible before the All-Ireland Championship begins. And Waterford away is never easy. But I think, just looking at the Cork team, Orla Finn is somebody I have to mention here as well, the Kinsale forward. Saoibh O'Leary has taken a few headlines, or her teammate in Kinsale, but Orla Finn has been absolutely brilliant and consistent from her freeze. And I think her freeze and the ones that she wins and the ones that she converts tomorrow will be the difference.
You fancy Cork, so just about.
Just about, but I mean, again, it's the league, and you know, if it's championship, you may not as make as many. You yeah. may not need to make as many changes. You're going to put your strongest team out there for as long as you can. But when it comes to the league, you know, irrespective of the score, I think Aoife probably has in his head who he wants to come on, who he wants to take a look at, be it in the fullback line, and it's certainly in the forwards. There seems to be quite a bit of competition for the forward line this year. Ciara O'Sullivan has that centre forward position nailed down, but after that, every other position, well, apart from Orlefin, but there's four positions up for grabs there, I honestly believe. The half-back line looks settled, Ashley Hutchings, O'Shea and Duggan that we mentioned earlier, and Roisin Finn, the full-back. And then there's players to come in, like we've mentioned, the injured players and the players that have yet to feature. But tomorrow is an opportunity for the forwards to really put a final stake and stake a claim, because should Cork lose, they're out of the league, yep. and then they have to wait a bit of time before the championship starts. But if they win, they'll have a semi-final the following week and hopefully a final within the next couple of weeks as well.
Mentioning the championship, sure, and either way, the All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship will start on in early July, and the draw was made for the groups for the championship on Thursday. Dublin will open their defence against Tyrone, they're in a group there with Tyrone and Waterford, and then Cork, ourselves, we are in a group along with Meath and Tipperary, that's Group B for Cork, and Cork's opening game will be on the 10th of July against Meath, and then they have Tipperary the following week on the 17th of July. So just looking at that, Ger, with that group there, what do you make of that?
When the draw came out, my first reaction was, well, it could have been harder, and maybe it could have been a little bit easier. People, we know all about Tipperary already, because we've played them. They have a new manager. Shane Renane, obviously, has moved on to take over the Waterford men's team. Mm. But they've got Aisling Maloney and a lot of very, very good players in that team. Now, Cork beat them pretty well the opening night in the National League, but I wouldn't take too much on that, because Tipperary will be gunning and all guns blazing. It will be a lot closer when they meet on the opening day. And just a word about Meath as well. Meath are up from the intermediate grade since last year. And I got a look at them at Croke Park. They were in the final before Cork and Dublin's All-Ireland Senior Final on the same day, 5 days before Christmas last year. And they are a very, very solid team. Yeah. You would expect Cork to beat them, but this is a team that's come up that are ready for senior. They are certainly ready for the senior grade, and they will give them all kinds of trouble. I would expect Cork to top the group, but it depends on consistency, depends on having everybody available. But you would imagine, looking at those three right now on paper and the way Cork have played thus far, I'd be expecting two victories and for them to push on. But I think the score lines will be a lot closer again, because these are two very dogged, very well-organised teams who know all about Cork and won't fear them.
Good stuff, Ger. So it is starting, as we said, the 10th of July, the TG Car All-Ireland Ladies Senior Championship, and Cork hoping to wrestle that All-Ireland title back off Dublin again. Hopefully we can get it back to Leaside this year for the Cork Lady Footballers. Listen, Ger, thanks a million, and hopefully we can get a win against Waterford as well tomorrow. Actually, one thing I did want to ask you separately, away from the ladies football, something I just saw that you tweeted during the week, and it's a lot of discussion I've seen amongst journalists in general in the sporting world, and you said you were thinking of featuring some of the rowers from the Irish team ahead of the Olympics in the Cork's Red FM Women in Sport podcast. But bizarrely, the Rowing Association, Rowing Ireland, they issued a statement on, I think it was Thursday evening, saying that they've basically banned all their players from talking to the media until after the Olympics. And I saw this myself, and I was kind of going, this seems very strange, especially for what you would probably deem a minority sport. You'd imagine they'd want all the coverage that they can get. So what do you think is the thinking behind that, and what do you make of it?
It was in the pipeline. There was rumours that there was going to be less access to the rowers this year, but there was no concrete proof of it until the statement came out. Now, there's two things about the statement, Colin. One, Rowing Ireland are fully entitled to do whatever they want to do to protect their rowers heading into the Olympics. They, as an organisation, be it a minority sport or majority sport, if they feel that they don't want the rowers engaging with the media, that's fine. But as you said, it's a minority sport. It's growing. It's been growing exponentially since the two Skibbereen lads pulled like dogs in the
previous Olympics. Yeah, exactly. Olympics, and like, I mean, they got amazing coverage, and it was great for them.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is, it's on the rise. I mean, the amount of female rowers that are making waves, pardon the pun, over recent weeks. We spoke to Aoife Casey on the Women in Sport podcast. She's from Skibbereen. She's qualified already for the Olympics. She was delighted to talk to us, only happy to promote her sport. Spoke openly about why she believes this is something young girls should look at as a sport when they're choosing the sports. Now, the thing about Rowing Ireland is, if all you're doing between now and the Olympics is giving one media event where people will be available, the best you'll get is maybe 5-10 minutes, and that's it. I mean, we're trying to promote it. There's medals within, definitely the potential for medals is probably I would imagine, at best, within the roars from the Irish team that's going to the Olympics, we have a real chance of medalling. Surely you would want to maximise the minutes, maximise the chance for people to talk to the press, explain who they are, what they're doing, and get the whole country behind them. So, look, I think it's an unnecessary step. I think it's a retrograde step, and I think it's something that's going to damage rowing Ireland in the long term. But the second thing I wanted to mention, and it really is disappointing to see it, most people know about the number one tennis female player, Osaka, who pulled out of the French Open just this past week because she cited that she wasn't going to do any more press conferences because she was worried about her mental health. And there's mention of mental health in that rowing statement. So it's saying that, look, we're trying to protect the rowers and for the good of their mental health. Now, it's one thing to say to the media and to the country, we're not doing any interviews. We're telling them not to do any interviews. That's fine if that's what you want to do. It's not good. We've explained why just there now. But don't mention mental health. Don't mention mental health as an excuse. If people are suffering from mental health, that's, of course, nobody wants to put them in front of a microphone and they shouldn't be forced to do that. But don't put it into a statement in the same way that you're saying nobody's going to talk to the media between now and the Olympics. I just thought that was unnecessary, badly timed.
It does seem strange timing with the Naomi Osaka thing at the French Open, all right, doesn't it? And you think maybe in that, you hope it doesn't set a precedent with other sports and kind of using that mental health thing. But like, surely the solution there would be leave it up to the individual athletes. If they want to speak to the media, great, off you go. If they're shy, or if they do have a genuine mental health issue, or they're just not feeling it on the day, then fine, don't. It's a matter of choice.
You know it as well as I do in media circles. That happens, and that's fine. That's great. But don't put it out for the entire Rowing Ireland organisation to say that everyone's not talking to the media for the good of their mental health and the fact they want to keep quiet between the Olympics. It's such a backward step, and at a time when rowing is really about to kick on, even more so than what it's done over previous years, the timing, in my opinion, couldn't be worse. And I have to say, Colm, Aoife Casey is one example. They are a joy to deal with, any of the rowers that you speak to. They're absolutely open, very, very good with their time. I had contacted a couple of rowers in the meantime, but I haven't heard back from them, and I'm not going to push them now because I don't want to put them in an awkward position if they've just been told not to talk to the media. But what a disaster, because, you know, when you're looking to promote sport, you're looking to promote women in sport, rowing is at the forefront of it. And this, as I've said and outlined for many reasons, is an awful backward step. Hopefully they'll have a rethink, and hopefully they might rethink it, but I doubt it.
All right, Jerry, we covered a lot of ground there. That is Jerry McCarthy of the Cork's Red FM Women in Sport podcast. Listen, Jer, enjoy the weekend, and hopefully we get a Cork win in the ladies' football tomorrow.
Absolutely, Colin. Good to talk to you.
Hopefully we get a Cork win tonight as well up in the Gaelic grounds in Limerick. Now, speaking of hurling, the launch of the 2021 Red FM Hurling League took place in Páirc Uíochmhainn on, we were down there Monday night actually, myself and Rory and some of the team from here at Cork's Red FM, and we're now entering our 12th year of the partnership with the Cork County Board and Cork GAA. The Red FM Hurling Leagues, they've gone from strength to strength, and this year it features a kind of a different format with teams playing in groups of four due to the shortened season. Obviously, we're only coming off the back of a long layoff due to the COVID lockdown and so on. Blackrock, the Rockies, they're the reigning champions, lifting the trophy. Let me explain this now. Not back in 2020, but back in August 2019, they beat SARS in Páirc Ring. And while the 2020 leagues did initially begin in maybe February or March last year, the COVID pandemic saw the leagues called to a halt. Michael O'Halloran, he's the Rockies captain, and he spoke to Rory down at the launch on Monday night in Páirc Uíochmhainn.
And with Michael O'Halloran of Reigning County and Red FM League champions Blackrock. Michael, how are you, sir?
Very good. How are you?
Good. I suppose you're itching to get back playing and kind of get back into it, too.
Yeah. It's been so long now. It's October 4th is the county final thing, so it's about 8 months now before a game. So everyone's dying to get back, so it's great.
What's it been like now, back at training, on at the first match is just around the corner?
Brilliant. Yeah, there's great buzz around the club. Everyone's still on a high, so yeah, it's great to be back training, and we have young fellas coming through as well. So yeah, it's great to be back.
Take us back to that county final. I mean, like, the feeling of lifting that cup in here in front of a back road must have been incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. Best moment ever. Dream come true. So it was unreal, and we had a great time or whatever. But credit to all our players and management and stuff. And it was a team effort, and yeah, it was a great feeling.
I imagine being stopped ever to be talking about that county final,
yeah? Yeah, I suppose, like, but I suppose when the new year turns, then you want to be focusing then again on 2021. People forget about it fairly soon after, like, so, yeah, we want to drive on now for next season as well.
You're the reigning league champions, even though there was no league, so to speak, last year. It started and it finished, but you won in 2019. You're a young team, obviously, and winning becomes a habit. So how important was winning the league in the road to the championship?
Yeah, it was important to get into that winning mindset, but I suppose when we won the league that time, we went out 2 weeks later and lost to Newtown, so it wasn't the best. But the league, we took it very seriously that year, and obviously winning mindset helps, like, and winning finals as well, so that was definitely good to play that final.
Your first game in the league this year is a repeat of the county final as well, against Glen Rovers, so that's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, that would be good. Just talking to Dave Dooling there Saturday the 12th, I think, so looking forward to that now against the Glen.
Yeah, and looking ahead to the championship as well, Cairns Own, Bars, Charleville, not an easy group, I suppose, but then again, there are no easy groups,
but yeah, they're three very tough games. They'll be well up for it against us, I suppose, and it's going to be a very tough group, but we're looking forward to it when it comes.
Just looking back as well, the 2019 semi-final at double extra time went over St. Finbar's was one of the most epic league games we've ever seen.
Oh yeah, yeah, in the lashing rain in Parkhearing, yeah, went to double extra time, yeah. No, that was class, yeah. I remember cramping in that game, so yeah, it was definitely went on a bit too long.
You scored 12 points that day, did you?
Yeah, mostly free, yeah. So
no, I can't. And come here, there's a tag on your back this year, everyone's out gunning for you, and that adds an extra bit of pressure, I guess.
Yeah, definitely, I suppose we need to keep the heads down or whatever, get back to training and get prepared for our opposition. The opposition league will be very good in the same championship, so we'll have to put in the work now in training and stuff, so yeah, looking forward to it.
And overall, I suppose the Red FM leagues have really grown in stature and they've become vitally important for teams.
Yeah, most definitely, and the advertising has been good and we've been getting good crowds, I suppose, in the last 2 years pre-COVID, and they're very competitive games, and this new format should be good as well with the three new teams, so yeah, we're looking forward to it, and thanks to Red FM for sponsoring and supporting.
Thanks, Michael, very best of luck.
Cheers. Thanks.
That's Michael O'Halloran, the captain of BlackRock, the Rockies captain, speaking to our man Rory down at the launch the other night of the Red FM Senior Hurling League in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And Rory also spoke to Mark Sheehan from the Cork County Board about the partnership.
I think this is the 12th year of the Red FM sponsoring the leagues, which is a fantastic, I suppose, brand partnership, and it's worked fantastically well over the last couple of years.
Yeah, we're delighted. It's hard to believe that it's year 12, and it's great to be back here on the hallowed turf in Páirc Uí Chaoimh on the eve of the 1st of June. It's been such an unusual 12, 13, 14 months for everyone. The leagues, I suppose, last year, I suppose, really didn't. Unfortunately, they commenced in earnest, but events came in the way in mid-March. So we have, as you know, a different format for this year. And we're looking forward with hope and expectation to those games starting up, you know, from next week and moving into the championship programme. A different format this year, slightly truncated, but that's because of circumstances. And judging by the enthusiasm of the players here tonight, you know, I think all clubs are training. And looking forward to the commencement, and of course it's great to have yourselves in Red FM as our sponsors and partners. It's been a good partnership and looking forward to a good year in 2021.
I was going to say, just talking to the players, they're really excited about the new format. It gives them a lot of tough competitive games in the league, which will set them up nicely for championship.
Similar to the Allianz leagues at the inter-county level at the present time, I suppose that, you know, the model is the League Cup model is kind of somewhat similar to that, trying to keep the principles of the league as they always are intact, and also to give good competitive games. A lot of work was done to make sure that the groups were, you know, set up, that we avoided championship pairings and repeats and all that. And I suppose with the new championship format, even that it is a separate competition, as you know, we have, I suppose, had an eye to those championship draws, which we did at the end of April in terms of setting up the groups. So it's onwards and upwards now from now on.
And even just talking to the lads, they're just itching to get out back playing with their clubs, back representing their localities. It's fantastic to see, and everyone's just raring to go after the year we've had.
Undoubtedly, and that's, I suppose, the common theme, you know, even going back to the first inter-county matches here, the first games, senior hurling game against Waterford, and right through to being in Ennis yesterday afternoon. It's great from an administrator's point of view as well to be on pitch on the sidelines, on pitch side, as it were, for games. That's what we're all about, and it's equally important and even more so for the clubs and club players, of course, club championship, and the league is such an important preparation for that.
Mark, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
That's Rory speaking to Mark Sheehan there of the Cork County Board down at the launch of the Red FM Senior Hurling Leagues for 2021 in Porkeycueve. We were down there on Monday evening, and you might see the photos of that online on redfm.ie as well. If you missed any of the show tonight, you can catch up on the whole thing too on redfm.ie. That is us out of time for this evening. The Big Red Bench is back with Rory. He's in the hot seat tomorrow evening from 6. I'll be back on air with you Bank Holiday Monday on the 10 to 2 show. I'll chat to you then. Have a great Saturday evening. Enjoy the long weekend. Looking forward to Monday, things reopening. Stand by for Stevie G. He's on the way next.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Hi.